Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Gracious Father, we pray that you would attend your word this morning, and that you would use it to touch our hearts and our minds and our lives. Teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. It is one of the age-old questions, and it's a hard question that people have been asking for thousands of years. Job asked it in what might be the oldest book in the Old Testament. Solomon asked it. People still ask it. In fact, I've asked it many a time. But no one asked it more precisely than the psalmist in Psalm chapter 10. The question is, why do God's people suffer at the hands of the wicked, and why doesn't he do something about it? Here's the way that the psalmist put it in Psalm 10. He said this, and I wonder if you can resonate with these words. Why do you stand far off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and adversity. He murders the innocent. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see it. Have you ever asked that question? Why? Why doesn't God do something about it? Sound familiar to you? It sure does to me, and it sounded familiar to the people in the church of Thessalonica back in the days of the New Testament when Paul was writing to them. At the time that he was writing his second letter to them, they were suffering. They were being persecuted at the hands of unbelievers. And interestingly, Paul does not answer the question why. He takes it for granted that believers will suffer at the hands of unbelievers. And instead, he says this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. And this is our lesson that is printed for you in your bulletin for today. Paul says this, "It is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed." I think Paul mentions three things in this letter that I would like to point out to you as God reveals them. And the first one is this: there actually will be punishment for those who abuse God's people. He says in verse 6, "It is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you." Sometimes Christians suffer much at the hands of unbelievers. We sometimes think of the martyrs in the early Christian church who were abused by both the Jews and the Romans. They lost their homes, their families, and their lives because they confessed Jesus was Lord and is Lord. You know what, though? So we think of them oftentimes, but sources are telling us that in the last 100 years, there have been more martyrs in the Christian church than in all the previous 1900 years. They've suffered at the hands of Islamists, the hands of the Hindus, the hands of the communists. Christians, more in the last 100 years than in all the previous 1900 years. It probably has not escaped your own notice that our own country is becoming more hostile to the Christian message, to the name of Christ. But though people are suffering, and it may be troubling to you and me to see the wicked torment our brothers and sisters, the day will come when we'll most certainly be punished. That's Paul's message here. And this leads us to our second point, and that is, though they will be punished, it may not be in this life. Verses 6 through 8. Let's read that again, shall we? It is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day. This is our second point. Though they will be punished, it may not be until the day that our Lord Jesus comes. History is replete with injustices that have been carried out for decades. And in those times, how should Christians act? By the way, it might very well be that some of us in this building will be suffering at the hands of unbelievers one day. How should we act? How should we respond? Well, in two ways in particular. St. Peter says this. He says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves with this same attitude. In other words, if our Lord suffered, why should we expect anything less? Why should we expect to escape it if that's what our Lord Jesus, if that's what happened to him? And that was the way those early church Christians approached their suffering. Well, if my Lord died for me, what should I expect? I should expect the same. And that's what they did expect. But secondly, then, Christians also ought to follow the example of Stephen, and who followed the example of our Lord when he prayed for the men who stoned him. As they were pelting him with stones, he prayed for them, saying, lay not this sin to their charge. And that brings us to the third point, and that is, though the last day will be frightening for most people, it will not be for God's children. Listen to verse 10. When he comes, well, let me start with verse 9. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Will be a day of terror for some, admiration by others. Why admiration on the part of Christians? Probably don't even have to say it, huh? It's so obvious, but I will say it. It's because when Jesus was persecuted, when he was mistreated and beaten and spit on and finally nailed to the cross, why, he did all that for you. He did all that for me. How can I not admire somebody who would do that for me? He was not only persecuted by evil men, but he suffered at the hands of his own Father. Suffered an eternity of hell there in a moment for you and me. And he did that on your behalf to pay the eternal consequences of your sin and of mine too. And you know the debt for your sin was paid because he rose again. If you'll simply believe him, then when he comes back, he'll come to take you home. What a difference in the way that Christians will view him on that day. Sometimes we get kind of scared ourselves, but there's no need to be, because he's paid the price for your sin. He says, if you'll just believe on me, I'll take you home with me. Think of it this way. Imagine a 7-year-old playing out in his front yard, little boy, And two older kids come walking along down the sidewalk, and they come up to the seven-year-old, and they begin to bully him and to torment him, to laugh at him as they knock him down. And in the house, his father's watching out the window. Finally, he's had enough. And in rage, he opens the door, he flings it open, and he runs out into the yard, and he screams, "What are you doing to my son?" He says, now what a difference on the faces of those three boys, isn't there? The two bullies see him, the father coming, and there's fear in their eyes. They've been caught, and they were wondering, what's he going to do to us? But the son, his son has a look of relief and of joy and of admiration. That's my dad. And he's coming to save me. Well, that's the way it will be on your face when our Lord Jesus comes to save you and to take you home. May God grant it for each one of us. In his name, amen. Would you please rise? Pray with me the Lord's Prayer. We pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.